coming to Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 21st and 22nd is GrandCon Gaming and Comics Convention, presented by Celebration Cinemas. Join us in playing or chatting it up with fellow enthusiasts in a community that understands your passions. Get lost in the adventure of your favorite role-playing game. Admire costumes and art from vendors and attendees. Meet the creators behind your favorite mainstream and independent games and comic books. Check out unpublished games and sneak peek at things to come. You can get all this and more at GrandCon. For more information, please visit www.grand-con.com.
Hello and welcome to the unofficial Geekcast Radio podcast, Altered Geek Unplugged. I am your host for this week, Michael Powers. Normally, I'm the host of Off the Cuff. I am joined, as always, since the last episode, I'm joined again by Steve Megatron Phillips.
Hello.
How have you been, Steve?
Pretty good. Couple of new news announcement that I've been kind of going nuts over the last few days, pertaining to the last episode topic.
Do we want to address that at the top in our questions from last week?
Sure.
Well, sorry.
Oh no, I was just babbling. So go ahead.
Well, okay. At the end of last episode, we asked for listeners to let us know what my question was. Tell us who you would cast as Wonder Woman in a Wonder Woman movie. And Steve, you asked, what would you do with the Green Lantern franchise?
Yes.
And to the best of my knowledge, we got feedback from, I only saw one person.
Yeah, I only saw one person as well.
Okay, that would be at RyanCox20 from
yes,
Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter.
He said he kind of agreed with us that Wonder Woman would be pretty hard to cast, and that they would probably go with an unknown. I have to agree with that, but only because I can't think of, there isn't an actress out there right now that I can think of to play the part. Have you given it any thought in the last week?
I've tried looking for comparable people to use for that, but I have come up with nothing that, you know, kind of like you said with the whole Batman thing, I didn't see anybody that kind of jumped out at me.
Right. Where it got a little more interesting, though, was his response to the Green Lantern question. He says he would get rid of Ryan Reynolds, or at least the Reynolds interpretation of Hal Jordan, and that he would go with John Stewart. He didn't say who he would cast as John Stewart. Now, for the record, I didn't have a problem with Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern. I would rather have seen him play a different DC character.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I would have rather, like we mentioned before, I could see him playing a better Flash than Hal Jordan. I mean, yeah, he kind of fits the appearance of Hal Jordan, but his personality is not Hal Jordan.
Right.
So, I mean, I kind of get where, like, Blanchard goes off with Reynolds there. That, yes, he was not a very good pick for Green Lantern, but you can't pit the entire movie on Reynolds when it was just a bad movie.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't.
I mean, it was good for a first, you know, bring to live action.
Yeah, but I don't have as many, like, the problems that a lot of people have with, like, with the suit and all that. I didn't have an issue with, visually, I didn't have an issue with the film. And as far as the only problem I had as far as acting went, I don't really care for Blake Lively. I don't know. She's not she's not all that appealing other than something to look at.
Yeah, she's more eye candy than acting ability.
So, but
and I think she was thrown in there anyway because she was dating Ryan Reynolds.
Well, but if I'm being completely fair, I haven't seen her in anything other. I've seen her in Green Lantern and I've seen her in Gossip Girl. I haven't seen her in like The Town or anything else that she's done. So I don't really have a whole.
I saw her in The Town. She was kind of, I don't know. She doesn't really emote well to any film she's in.
Okay.
I don't see the use of her in film. She's not like, she's more looks than talent.
Right.
But yeah, I kind of agree with Ryan on the having Jon Stewart instead of Hal Jordan. I understand the having Hal Jordan instead of Jon Stewart because he is one of the original iterations of Green Lantern, but if they were going to do like how they did in the Justice League and Unlimited cartoon, then Jon Stewart would be the logical choice.
Right. Well, and I think there's a generation of people that know him as the Justice League's Green Lantern.
Yeah, I mean,
show.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I completely agree with you.
But the more interesting thing has been all the lists of Batman that have popped up.
Oh, I know. And the lists have been diverse between all the different sites. Like, there's not really any particular names that have been common between them. I mean, there's one or two that have been common between lists from this site and that site and the other site, but it's not, not all of them have the same people.
Right.
The one name
that I've seen that keeps popping up on just about all the lists is the guy from Magic Mike and True Blood. I can't remember his name, but he's pretty much on the list because he was a runner-up to play Superman. And
is it that
he's also a really big guy?
That Joe Manganiello, yes. Or whatever.
Yep. That's him.
Yeah, I've seen him pop up in a lot. I could kind of see it, but I don't know.
I can't see it.
Just looking at him, I mean, the appearance, I don't know. I don't think he would do the role justice. That's like the people that have been putting Ryan Gosling on the list.
Yeah.
While he is a good actor, he's not bulky enough, and he doesn't have the Batman feel to him.
No.
And I keep seeing Josh Brolin show up on lists too. While he could kind of work, he still doesn't have the kind of look and feel of Batman.
Right.
He's almost too. I couldn't see him. I can see him playing a better Batman than Bruce Wayne again. I mean, I don't really see it.
Right. And I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but we had a conversation on Twitter. I just, you know, there's these lists and it's like, yeah, these are the guys that Warner Brothers is looking at. I personally, you know, it's fun to speculate, but I love speculation, but I'm still sitting there going, I'm holding out hope for Armie Hammer or Christian Bale to come back. And until they sign somebody else, that's what it is. And my opinion at the end of the day is that they're just trying to call Christian Bale's bluff to make him want to come back.
Well, and I've read a couple different things that have popped up over the last couple of days. I heard on one of the sites somewhere or something I read, Armie Hammer wasn't interested in playing a superhero. Because he found them to be like one-dimensional and that they're supposed to be like this indestructible, invincible character. So he just didn't see the point in playing them, although he did it in Lone Ranger.
I'm wondering if that interview was done pre-Lone Ranger.
No, it was 5 days ago.
Oh, well.
So I don't know if that was, I mean, in the film industry, it's kind of weird anyway, just because they make celebrities come out and kind of say, oh no, this isn't going to happen. Kind of like they did with Into Darkness about Khan. Oh no, it's not going to have Khan. And then it had Khan.
Yep, it did.
So, I mean, it could be just a ploy like that, just to throw people off the scent and having all these different lists pop up. But again, like you said, Christian Bale is technically not really out of the running. I mean, he did say at one point that he would like to do another film, and then all of a sudden decided he didn't want to.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, they threw out, and I meant to bring this up on the last episode where we were really talking about this, but they started talking about they want somebody as, like, an older Batman.
And Bale's actually in that position now.
Right, but I'm wondering, for some reason, in some twisted version of my mind's eye, I can see this actor playing a version of Batman. And I'm wondering what you think. He's done the voice of Batman. He's been in both Star Trek movies. Bruce Greenwood. Like,
I would be fine with that, actually.
Like, for some reason, like when they first said older Batman, I was just like, you know, I don't really care for his voice as Batman, but some part of me, if they like went like super old with him, I'm like, I could. Some part of me can see it.
I could see Bruce Greenwood playing him, and plus, I didn't mind his voice in Under the Red Hood as Batman.
It wasn't so much that I didn't mind it. It was more it wasn't Kevin Conroy.
Well, yeah, nobody's going to be Kevin Conroy.
Right.
But to me, that I would rather hear Bruce Greenwood than any other actor try and imitate Kevin Conroy.
Agreed.
I mean, granted, they have a sound-alike that's supposed to be younger for Arkham Origins. But I still, what would be interesting is if they got a different actor to play it and then they just dubbed over Kevin Conroy when he's being Batman. That would be awesome, actually.
That's like some Darth Vader stuff right there.
I mean, honestly, why don't they think about that? Because that would be, they would bank off Kevin Conroy's voice being Batman alone.
I'm wondering if that would be something that they could do with that. To me, in order for that to work and not be... It worked with Darth Vader because he had a complete mask. And the only version of Batman that I can think of that has a complete mask, and you can correct me here, is the Batman Beyond suit.
Nope, that's pretty much it. Unless he's got some special armor for some special situation.
But even then, doesn't in the animated series, doesn't he have a
mouth? The mouth does move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's not supposed to, right? That's
it. No, it's supposed to have a mouth that covers, it's like a rubber thing that covers his mouth and it moves with his mouth. It's like a natural fiber skin type thing. But I think that would be cool having Kevin Conroy as the voice of Batman.
Oh, absolutely.
And having another actor.
I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't want to see the mouth moving with the voice unless they were like really good with the audio.
Yeah, they would have to sync it up perfect, and that would be the difficult part.
So and not only that, you have to get somebody that can play Bruce, and that voice could be Kevin Conroy's voice could be a natural extension of that person's voice range. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
now I've seen a couple names pop up besides those over the last few days. I mean, we already voiced our thing on like Josh Brolin, Jensen Ackles, and I've seen three other names pop up over the last couple weeks, and since the episode that we did. For some reason, somebody was saying Jim Caviezel.
Well, he was up for Superman when McG was going to do it.
So, I mean, I could kind of see him as Batman.
And he's working with Nolan's brother on Person of Interest.
And that's one of the other arguments I'd seen about that whole thing.
So... I mean, I like him on Person of Interest. So
well, and that's why people were stating, "Oh, he's basically Batman without the costume."
It would that is a true statement. If you haven't seen that show, it's worth checking out.
I've seen it bits and pieces here and there, but I do see where people get that reference. So I mean, I could see that playing out pretty well, actually, because it really wouldn't be that far of a stretch from what he's already doing, because he's kind of already proving he can do what Batman does.
I think he could do the voice too. I think
yeah,
he could.
I think he could.
So,
one of the other names was I will forever think of him as Dredd and McCoy, but it's Carl Urban was another one I saw pop up.
Yeah, but at that point, isn't he stepping into like Ian McKellen territory? You know, playing all these different characters from different series.
He could be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's. I mean, I can see that.
He's got nothing on Ryan Reynolds, mind you, for playing as many characters, but it's just...
No, but I mean, he was in The Lord of the Rings. I mean, he was in, which, you know, again, made him kind of big, and then he was in Doom, and he's been in Dread, which is his new major thing, besides Star Trek.
Right. I like Dread. Dread was good.
I do, too, and I think he played it really well, and he does the deep kind of voice really well. So, I mean, I could see him playing it, too, but it's still not one of those jump right out at me.
I don't think, honestly, I don't think it could be him, though, simply because of everything that's on his plate.
Yeah, he's got too much going on. So they need somebody with a little less baggage, more or less, so that they can say, hey, we're doing, you know, this movie, need you for a cameo. We're doing this movie. We got this movie, kind of like they'd done with the Marvel.
Right.
And then the other name I've seen pop up is Richard Armitage.
Who, remind me?
He's in the Hobbit movie. I have no idea who he was, like, up until I've seen his name pop up on the list.
Didn't care for the Hobbit, so I really don't know. I'm assuming he was one of the Hobbits.
I think so.
But, or not the Hobbit, one of the dwarves. But
yeah, one of the dwarves, he was. He was Thorin.
So he's like the shield. He's the main one then.
I'm pretty sure.
So yeah, I saw that movie twice, I think, and that was it.
But again, I don't really see him either jumping right out at me. I mean, he's not. I mean, he's been in some stuff, but it's not. I mean, he's really only been doing acting since like '95, and like a lot of the stuff isn't really jump right out at you kind of roles.
Right.
He was in. I mean, the biggest things I see on his plate that he's done. He was a fighter pilot in Episode 1 of Star Wars. He was Hines in Captain America: First Avenger. He's in the Hobbit trilogy, and then he was in the Robin Hood movie. So I mean, he's not really done a whole lot.
Hmm. Well, I think we've beaten this horse to death.
Yes. What I do find interesting about possible casting things is what they're talking about for Lex Luthor.
Oh.
You've not seen that stuff?
No.
Well, their new thing is they're talking about having Bryan Cranston play Lex Luthor.
Of course.
Which I also was seeing something else to where people were saying he would make a better Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
He's got that kind of look of the DCAU Jim Gordon to him.
I could see it either way. I mean,
I could see it either way, but I think he'd play if you're going for an older Lex Luthor, I think he could play it, but I think he'd play a better Jim Gordon than Lex Luthor.
Man, that's just one of those things. It's like, this is just one of those rumors that makes me go, they really they don't need to start over with Batman. This whole thing, you know, it's not, it really should not be who's playing Superman and Batman, and it shouldn't even be like who's playing Batman in the Justice League movie, because basically that's what this is, right? It's not about who's playing. It's, yeah, Superman, Batman is gonna be the first place we see him, but really it's about who's playing Batman in the Justice League movie. And it shouldn't be, the conversation shouldn't be about that. The conversation should really be who's playing Green Lantern, who's playing Flash, who's playing Wonder Woman. It, like, Warner Brothers has,
yeah, they've got their head kind of in the wrong place,
and it's just so dumb. I mean, you have two complete worlds and two complete casts of characters that are solid, like rock solid, and they should be worrying about these other characters, not the two that they know that they already have. It's just
pretty sure they've already got the Batman picked out anyway. And like you said, they're probably still holding out for Bale. I mean, that's
the ideal way to go, because then you don't have to rebuild everything from the ground up. But it's just,
well, no, like, they can, like you said in the last one, they could play off the end of Dark Knight Rises.
Right. So,
but I mean, yeah, I agree. They should be figuring out what they're going to do with the other characters that are going to build this Justice League.
Right. But whatever. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure this movie doesn't come out until 2015.
Yeah, 2015. So there's going to be a lot of rumor between now and then.
I'm sure we will be talking about this a lot.
For time to come.
So, let's see. I guess we can make a lengthy discussion out of this. The Star Trek 3 stuff.
Yes.
Come out in the last week.
Yeah, a lot of it.
One that I'm okay with to a point is the rumor of the new director.
John Chu?
Yes.
I'm fine with that, actually.
I'm okay with that. Now, I don't have IMDb open, but he did G.I. Joe?
Yes, he did G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Which was...
that
fun
and
hokey and...
Well, and it had John McClane in it, so I mean...
Sure.
And Cobra Commander was done right, and Snake Eyes was done right. I mean, the guy had an attention for detail.
He had an attention for detail, but the problem was, like, I'm not saying
it was a flawless movie
right,
by any means.
I don't think it's any... First of all, I'm going to go on record. I don't have any, like, nostalgia for G.I. Joe, so I don't have any issues with the first movie. In fact, when I watched the first movie, there were scenes in there that reminded me of when I was playing with G.I. Joes as a kid. And I got that same vibe from the second one. Now, I feel like the second one is slightly more solid than the first one, but there are moments in the second one that are just absolutely laughable. But I don't think that's his fault.
No, I think that was because he was having to repair something that was already broken.
Yeah, so...
But for me, I had the nostalgia glasses on. The only thing that really pissed me off about the first film was Cobra Commander's design. It was the fact that they turned him into the Doctor, like Dr. Mindbender in a sense, and then they upgraded him to the Commander by the end, and then it still wasn't the faceplate.
Right.
Which is what I was expecting out of Cobra Commander. It wasn't the fact that it had the crappy deep voice. It wasn't the fact that he was playing the underling for a minute there. It was the fact that just the design of that. That was my only peeve with that entire film. I mean, yeah, it wasn't great, but it was fun nonetheless.
It was like playing with your toys. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't the toys that you remember. That's all.
No. And to me, I would have rather they just called him something else or not even had him as Cobra Commander if they were going to not at least homage that one key element.
Yeah, but at least now, because they corrected it in the second one, you could look at it as it's an
evolution.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm fine with it now because they went back and kind of fixed the issue. But but anyways, back to the Star Trek. Yeah,
Star Trek stuff.
I would be fine with him directing Trek. I mean, nothing against JJ because he did a good job with the first two. But I think that, you know, with him being tied up with Star Wars Episode 7, I think that it would be only right to have another director take it.
Right. Especially since Paramount's doing that stupid thing that Fox did with X-Men 3 where they want them both out in the same year.
Well, actually, they want Star Trek out in 2016.
Oh, I thought it was a 2015.
No, they decided they wanted it in 2016 for the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
Oh, so it has room to breathe.
Yes.
And come up with an original idea.
Oh, hey, that leads into another story.
Okay, this is about the writers, right?
Yes.
Okay, we had the conversation how we wish they were moving on, and we were happy about that, and then it comes back around to Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci were coming back to write Star Trek 3. Now... at first, I was like, oh, man, because, okay, I liked the first one.
Oh, I really liked the first one.
The first one did a good job of, okay, it's Star Trek, but now we're in an alternate timeline. You know, they set this up, but then when they go to do the second one, it's Star Trek 2 with a shinier coating on it. And you and I have had this conversation, but I honestly... Star Trek 2 or yeah, actually or Into Darkness. Well, I'm sorry, Into Darkness. I felt sorry for Khan. And the way that the whole thing kind of unfolded, it made Starfleet made them look like jerks. And I'm sorry. And I'm not just saying that as like a big fan of I'm a big fan of Benedict Cumberbatch. But I was just like, wow. Because I thought the movie was going to unfold one way, and I thought it was going to be like he became this terrorist because he was trying to free his people, and because he, you know, I thought it was going to be like, okay, they found him and they realized he was this weapon from like World War III, and it was like, okay, we want to use him again to fight the Klingons, and then he had like a change of heart, and then he was just trying to free his people and he wanted to be left alone. And that's the vibe that I was getting. But at the same time in the movie, they were playing off of the events of the actual Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan. And it was like, oh no, he's a bad person here, so he's a bad person here. And I was like, wait a minute, you guys aren't even giving him a chance. And it was just, whatever.
Yeah, I was of the same opinion. I mean, I felt bad for Khan and everything, and I realized that they were trying to do something different with the character, and they did, but...
But they treated him like he was the same person. Like, clearly,
yeah,
he was
same guy. They treated him like an evil guy, which he ended up turning into that.
But they
only out
to.
Of circumstance because of Starfleet.
Yeah, I mean, and I honestly feel like it's because they went to talk to future Spock again. Like, I
that was
like,
just such a BS moment.
And I felt like that created the self-fulfilling prophecy where, you know, future Spock was like, yeah, he's a bad guy. You need to treat him like a bad guy. And then after that, they treated him like a bad guy and he responded like somebody that was being put in a corner unfairly. And I was like, okay, this is not the Starfleet I know. So, I mean, visually I liked the movie. It was just, I felt like Starfleet was the villain. And for some reason they won for the time being. But that's besides the point. Do you actually have a problem with the writers other than the fact that they basically rehashed Star Trek 2?
I do.
Cuz I went and looked at their writing cred, all the stuff that they've worked on, and it's pretty impressive.
Oh, I know that it's impressive. I can't stand that they... I mean, I understand why they keep using them, because they're cash cows. That's not going to change. My problem with them is that, yes, the duo knows how to write, but having them sit on the same project for so long, it just... I think it makes it stagnant with them. Because they get kind of all in on whatever it is and then don't let it go at all. I mean, that's partially the studio's fault, but I feel like all they do is keep rehashing crap. It's nothing. They never hit an original bone after the first initial film.
Okay. So basically
I want them to do something new, not keep bringing up... I mean, I understand that they're going to try and hit the character archetypes that, you know, and some of their various lines that they usually say or type of lines. But if you're trying to update it for a new generation, there has to be some kind of an evolution to it. You can't keep rehashing stories from the 60s or from the 80s or... I mean, Into Darkness, I found so many issues with that film... based on the fact, not just the fact that they wrote it, but the fact that there were things rehashed from all 10 previous films and Space Seed, all in the same mess there. So, I mean, I was finding too much fan nods. It should have had a lot more originality to it than what it did.
Okay.
It's more so what my pet peeve was.
I mean, unless it changes, I think I'm just going to wait and see what Star Trek 3 ends up being. and hopefully, like everyone else, it goes in a completely different direction. Like, I hope they get back to that whole, yeah, we created an alternate universe.
And then they keep bringing up the old stories.
So, and it,
there's room to move in this universe. There's nothing holding them to the original continuity. I mean, yes, in some essence, it still eventually has to come to pass to some way or some degree of what, you know, natural flow of history is, but nothing's going to be the same on how it happened before, unless they keep consoling with future Spock.
Which, and that in of itself is dumb, because at the end of the first one, they say, he says, I'm just going to go away. You have to do all this on your own. And then
they call him up.
Yeah. It's kind of like,
it's like they needed that quick throw in to say, yeah, we need to explain this really quick. So, let's bring old Spock back for 2 minutes.
But it's just kind of like, it's a stretch here, but it's almost like what we talked about last week with Superman being willing to kill. It's, you know, it's like, okay, so he's willing to kill, so that throws every other villain into question if it gets too tough. And it's like, okay, future Spock is around, but you're not supposed to interact with him. He's not supposed to give you the answers. Well, it gets too tough, so what do? You call future Spock and he breaks his own rules. So, like, what's to stop you from doing that again? You know?
Yeah. Like, I think that the next film should focus on maybe the funeral of future Spock or something, and like at the beginning, and then go on to something different.
Or just not even have him in it at all.
That would work too. I mean, I love the fact that they used Nimoy in the first film. That worked great. But the second film, that was just, it was unneeded. I knew it was coming at some point just because they started getting backed into a corner. They got
backed into a corner because they still wanted to make Khan be the bad guy.
And he wasn't. It was Section 31 and the Starfleet chief.
I mean, how cool would it have been if they had made Khan
the hero of that?
Or, like, you know, a good, like, actually be, like, a good guy, like a member of the crew in the next one. Like, what?
Or made him in you know, the head of intelligence or something.
Yeah.
So that he could, you know, help Starfleet prepare for the eventual war of various, you know, factions, like what RoboCop wanted to do. except not go about it the wrong way, you know.
Right.
I agree with Urban, though, that it needs to be something different.
Yeah. It could have been. That's why I was like, I was really, when it was spoiled for me that it was Khan, I was more let down than I was surprised, because I was like, they should have just done something different. But I was still holding out hope. I was like, well, maybe they gave it a different twist to it, and they didn't do that. Come on, you know, just like put a new, you can. Use the same, like you said, you can use the same characters or whatever, but give it a new spin. Like, you know, these characters should be treated differently.
Well, they can, I mean, the benefit of having the new universe or the new timeline is they can change things. They can play around with it a little. They don't have to stick to that cookie cutter format that was there before.
Mm-hmm. They are one for two now. And I don't even know if the first movie even counts, because that's like, that's where it starts, right? So they're 0 for 1, really? They've made one movie in this universe.
Well, and if you think about it, the first film is almost like generations in a sense. You got the old generation, again, ushering in the new generation.
Yeah, but I felt like it was more like a handoff kind of thing.
You know, well, and they did.
Ow. Stupid cat. Sorry.
But it's fine. I have a cat too. But no, I mean, I felt that the whole thing was kind of a mess. So I'm hoping they do something new.
Yeah, I think they get one more try. One more try. I'll stand by the one more try, especially if it's a new director. I think anything's up in the air.
Well, I think I was going to say, I think that after, because it used to be every odd film in the old line before Generations that were kind of crap films.
Right.
And then Generations was kind of a quasi-good, quasi-bad film, and then 8 was good, and then 9... I mean, it kind of kept the every other film was good and bad kind of thing. The odd ones were always bad. And then you hit Nemesis, and then that was bad. And then it switched. So the odd numbers are now the good films, and the even numbers are now the bad films as far as, like, writing and stuff is concerned.
Right.
So I'm hoping that with 13 coming, they'll do something to where they can continue on with the odd films being good and the new set of films.
Right. Well, and I think for me, I think if it had been if it's a new director and it had been a new writing team, I think that would have, like, put too much up in the air for me. Like, I obviously it's a Star Trek film, so I'm still going to see it, but I'd be like, wow, I don't know what to expect out of this. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Where at least if they keep the same writers but they get a new director, like, the some part of it will be familiar to me as far as a franchise goes, you know what I'm saying? Like the continuity, yeah, of the thing altogether. So and who knows, you know, the worst thing they could do is remake Star Trek 4.
I mean, that wasn't too bad.
No, I like Star Trek 4.
I like it too, but I mean, I'd prefer they didn't.
So, all right.
Maybe they should just cut to the Dominion War. Have it come early, extremely early.
All right. Do we want to talk about one more thing, or do we want to? You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, we can talk about one more thing.
I'm not sure if you're. You know what? I don't even know if I want to talk about this. I didn't read the article. But apparently ABC and Lucasfilms are in talk for the to finally get the ball rolling on the Star Wars TV series.
Yeah, I think I read something about that the other day.
The live action one. So I'm... If it's... And forgive me, audience, listeners. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline and thought it might be something interesting to talk about. If it's like the original plan that they've been working on for the last, I don't know, 8 years for the live action Star Wars TV show, where it takes place in between, was it three?
Episode 3 and 4.
Yeah, where it's like the kind of like the seedy underbelly kind of thing going on. Sure, I'm all for that. I mean, I would like to see a Star Wars film that doesn't necessarily have the Jedi in it. Because I'm kind of. Honestly, I'm kind of sick of all that at this point, because it kind of, like, with the new stuff, it felt like, okay, now we have all this opportunity to show lightsaber battles and all this stuff, and it just got dumb. I'd like to see something more stylish, more laser blaster than sword swinging, you know. That said, I don't read the Star Wars books. I don't know what stories they could possibly tell. But I do like playing the video games, and I do enjoy, like, the original trilogy. I enjoy parts of the prequel trilogy. I'm sure that's something we could possibly maybe touch on later. But do you want to see a live-action Star Wars TV show? Or do you think Disney's going to, like, drive this Star Wars stuff, like, into the ground faster than George Lucas could?
I think Disney's going to drag it into the ground. I mean, Disney's already taken Marvel, and they've gone full force with all their films. And they've also created Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I see it so far, before it's come out, being good. That remains to be seen once it actually airs.
Right.
Kind of like the concept of Arrow. But I can really see them dodging this right down a hole. From what I'm reading from the articles, they say that by the time the show comes out, it could be released after episode 7 and take place in that era.
Okay.
Which I could see. I think that would work better than kind of rehashing that empty gap between episode 3 and 4, because they're already planning on doing like origin films on certain characters, which honestly, I don't really see the need in it, because otherwise you're going to end up with the same thing as like origins of Wolverine.
Oh my God.
Or stuff like that. I mean, because they're talking about doing Solo and doing, you know, Boba Fett and Yoda and some of those other ones. While they could be interesting stories, I don't see the purpose in it.
But part of what makes those characters interesting is that, I mean, again, I haven't read the books, so I don't even know if there is an origin in place for these characters. Part of it
there are to some degree of some of the things, but there's, I don't think there's a reason to go back and do any of them.
I don't want to know more about those characters. I feel like I've gotten everything about out of those characters. I mean, it's kind of, I know where they end up, so why do I want to see where they came from? Like, you can't put them in any real kind of peril.
No, because they, you know that they're going to come out alive.
So,
because they're supposed to get old.
But you know what? Disney's got money. Disney's going to do what they want to do. And that said, I think the best thing to come out of that prequel trilogy was the Clone Wars show on Cartoon Network. I actually really enjoyed that. I know it's not a lot of people's cup of tea because of the animation style and whatnot, but I thought it was pretty good. So, I mean, if it's any... if it comes anywhere close to being like on the same level content wise, more power to ABC. But I don't really have anything more than to say about it than that.
There will be, in addition though, they are going to do another animated series kind of in the vein of Clone Wars called Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too.
Which will be on Disney Channel in 2014, taking place between episode 3 and 4.
Hopefully that's good.
Hopefully. I mean, I like, got like a 20-year gap to fill in there.
Yeah, I mean, I like the team that is working on. I mean, they did the work on the Clone Wars, so it's got to be, got to know what they're doing. I mean, there are single episodes of the Clone Wars where they redeem a lot of the crap that Lucas put people through. And it's just, I feel like at this point, like, I feel either through, like, an animated series or even through, like, a live-action series, I feel like Star Wars could be done more justice in the episodic nature of it rather than the big, grand movies.
Well, because they can take their time.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what J.J. Abrams can do. But then again, I don't know if I'd want to see a 22-episode season of Star Wars. I think this is one where, in order to keep production value high... and the quality of the series good, I really wish they would be like, okay, it's 12 episodes and that's it. Heck, I'd even be a fan of them going the way that the BBC Sherlock series does, where each episode is 90 minutes long and there's only 3 of them in a season. Boom. Movie. Like, I don't know. So
honestly, that would probably work. Like, best.
It would work best, but would that work here is the question. I mean, yes, Sherlock is pretty popular here for people that have seen it, but would it... I mean, it's not the norm, right? So would it... I mean, would ABC, you know, Lucasfilm take the gamble on making that, like, a normal form of storytelling? I mean, even networks that can do that, like HBO and those other premium cable channels, they limit their TV shows to an hour. I mean, that's 15 minutes longer than a cable program, but it's not 90 minutes. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, if anything even comes about it, because I know that they've been working on a live action series since like 2005. So, and at that point they're like, each episode costs about as much as a movie to make. And it's like, then you're doing it wrong. So, that's all I've got. And right now I'm struggling to think of my question for the listeners. But if you've got anything.
I feel like there was the only other thing. Film related thing I've got is like the X-Men Days of Futures Past.
Oh, yeah. I guess just, you know, a little comic talk real quick. I actually read the comic that it's based off of this last weekend, or on Tuesday. I'm sorry. I read it on Tuesday while I was at work. unless I'm missing something, and the readers can feel free to chime in here, Days of Future Past is a two issues of a comic book.
Like, it is.
But I thought, like, okay, I never read that comic when I grew up as a kid. I was aware of it because I had the Marvel trading cards, I had the X-Men trading cards, and they were like X Event, and it was like Days of Future Past, and I was very aware of, like, the, you know, the classic picture of Wolverine and Kitty Pryde in front of the wall with all the mutant pictures on them saying, like, deceased or captured. And, you know, the 90s cartoon series, they did their two-part run on, you know, Days of Future Past. I was very much aware of the event, and I knew what it was. But I sat down thinking that it was this major X event. And when I say X event, I'm talking something like Civil War or...
multiple issue run. Like, yeah, an entire, like, miniseries.
Yeah, like, kind of like how... I guess the most recent thing is, I'm sorry, Death in the Family, with the New 52, how yep. The story spanned a whole bunch of books. Like, you had to go from one book to the next to get the complete story. I thought that's what Days of Future Past was. And then I sat down and read it, and it was two issues of a comic book. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's... I mean, yes, it's spun off more stories in that universe, and because the future in Days of Future Past is a different universe than the regular continuity. But it also introduced, like, new characters like Rachel Summers and some other people and stuff like that. So, I mean, I understand, like, the impact it had, but I also thought it was a much bigger event than a two-issue comic. So anyways, I read that. I really just wanted to vent that somewhere publicly. But you had something you wanted to share about it?
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting, some of the stuff they're showing. I mean, they've already got kind of the, like, the leak clip that popped up online.
Is that the beginning of, like, the teaser trailer or something?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. It kind of got leaked online earlier this week.
The only thing that I've seen is the photo that Brian Singer posted of the full-size Sentinel. Have you seen
that? I don't know what I feel about that.
Okay, what part about that is off to you? Like, just that it looked the way that it looks, or, like, the size? Like, what's...
It's... Honestly, it's something about the chest.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some sort of CGI in the chest area.
Because, I mean, the head looks all right to me. I mean, the rest of it kind of looks all right. I mean, they kind of made kind of an exoskeleton kind of thing on it, which I'm fine with modifications and making it work in the film. But something about that chest area just kind of rubs me wrong. I'm hoping that that's going to be CG. But it just looks odd. Like, it stands out.
You know, what makes me happy about it, though, is that they actually made one. And that
a real Sentinel?
Yeah, and that the Sentinel isn't an entirely CGI creation.
Yeah, kind of like the Transformers, where they made Bumblebee.
Yeah, and it was really interesting, because when I first saw the picture, I was like, wait, that's not a Sentinel. Because I was like, Sentinels are huge. That's not a Sentinel, because I'm used to the Sentinels from, like, the animated series, or where they're, like, ginormous, like a mutant fits in their hand and it crushes them. But I guess that's not the way. I mean, yeah, they've been portrayed that way on and off in the comics as well. But I guess, like, again, reading Days of Future Past, they showed Trask, who is not a small size guy in the comic. They showed him walking next to, like, rows of Sentinels, and he as well came up to their knee. So I was like, oh, okay, so the Sentinels really aren't, I mean, they're bigger, but they're not as big as they're typically portrayed. So I was like, okay, I'll let that pass. And having read the comic that it's based off of, I'm still excited for the movie. It's just, I'm more let down by the movie than I'm more let down by the comic than I thought I was going to be. Because the idea is good, but the idea, the story is great, but the execution being as quick as it was in the comic was just bad, and I can't stand Chris Claremont's writing.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's very well thought out, but I like the concept. So. I have read it before. I'm looking at it. The only thing that I find weird is I've been hearing that instead of sending Kitty Pryde back and forth in time, they're going to send Wolverine.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and like for me, that just raises a whole bunch of geek questions. Like, well, first of all, I think they choose Wolverine because when they send his mind back, it's going to be pre-Weapon X. And so they're operating under the notion that his mind will be wiped during the Weapon X program, so he won't remember doing this. Also, another geeky thing to point out is that if X-Men Origins is considered canon, which I'm not 100% sure that it is.
First Class, you mean?
No. Wolverine Origins.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that it may not be canon because the rough script that they have for the Deadpool movie has Deadpool referencing his version, the poor portrayal of his or portrayal of his character in X-Men Origins. So I mean, again, I'm assuming Deadpool might be in continuity, but and Deadpool is a character that's capable of breaking the fourth wall from time to time. So it's like that little tidbit kind of throws the X-Men Origins being might not be continuity, but let's operate under the assumption that it is. We might not get to see Wolverine with the adamantium claws in Days of Future Past either.
Well, if you look at the end of Wolverine, he didn't have them then either.
Well, but they don't send in Days of Future Past. They don't send Kitty back. Like it's her consciousness that goes, not her entire body. So if the same thing happens to Wolverine, like if his consciousness is all that's sent back and it's not his entire body, he will still have the bone claws in, cause he would be the 70s version of him is pre Weapon X.
Yeah. And the post version, he somehow still has adamantium in his bones, but his claws are bone.
Well, yeah.
Which I find strange that he has bone claws again in the future or in the present time.
Okay.
I know they're going to be jumping to the way future too eventually.
I thought, they don't really say when the end of the Wolverine is, but the Wolverine takes place so many years after the events of X-Men 3, which they don't say when that is. And then at the very end of X-Men, the very end of the Wolverine, it says 2 years later, and then there's the end credits scene. So
yeah,
there's like a big chunk of time there. But for me, I mean, the adamantium timeline, I'm not confused about that. Like that makes sense to me. Like he's got, he got his claws. Spoilers. He gets his claws cut off at the end of the movie, so then he's left with bone claws, which is fine because that's what would happen. But it'll be interesting to see an entire movie with him in it where all he has is the bone claws. Which that's one of my problems with the movie The Wolverine, because it's like you have all this adamantium lying around, you couldn't give him his claws back.
Yeah, I was kind of.
I was like, what? What's going on?
I was like, I was confused by it because I thought they sucked the adamantium out of his bones at some point, because they chopped his claws off. And so when it got to the point where, and spoilers again, Magneto holds him hostage at the metal detector, I was like, how the hell is he holding him? He doesn't have adamantium in him. But and then, the other spoilery thing, which is, Professor X just randomly rolling up.
Oh my god, that made me laugh so hard.
I was like, I knew what was going on. I mean, when Magneto just all of a sudden walks up there, and then you see Magneto, Xavier rolling in on his scooter. I mean, And then says, it says, I told you when we first met, Logan, you're not the only one with special gifts. Well, last time I checked, Professor X couldn't spontaneously rebuild a body.
That's in the end of X3.
I mean, I know he can transfer his consciousness, but how the hell did he get his body back?
It's a twin. The guy in the bed was a twin. Yeah.
That explains a lot.
At least
so wouldn't
how...
he be able to walk?
I don't know. I mean,
that's so convoluted.
I'm pulling stuff out of X-Men 3. I don't like doing that. So, but, I mean, as far as I know, Days of Futures Past is supposed to undo the events of X-Men 3, and by extension, that also undoes the events of the Wolverine. So
he'll have adamantium claws again.
I don't know what's going on. I really don't. It's so confusing. So confusing. But I will say it is kind of... The events of Days of Future Past in the comic, you know, involve the assassination of Senator Robert Kelly. And that happened in X-Men 1. And I think that if... This is like going out on a limb here, but if... Bryan Singer's ultimate plan was to do Days of Future Past, and he started this, you know, 13 years ago. Props to him. I'm sorry, but I mean, maybe that's the way that, you know, the dice fell or the cards fell, and, you know, with him producing First Class and having like a chance to kind of reestablish the series, and then he wants to like link them both together. Maybe Days of Future Past is just what fits, but man, does it fit really well. So props to him either on accident or by design. Props to him. So,
yeah.
That
about wraps it up though.
Yeah. For this week. I mean, do you have a question for the listeners? I still haven't been able to think of one. Do they even need? I don't think they need a question this week.
No, they don't need a question this week.
I don't think they deserve a question this
just
week.
Just if you have an idea for comments or questions or suggestions or something you want to hear us babble on about, just drop us a line on Twitter or send it to the feedback voicemail or the feedback email, and we'll respond in the next episode.
All right, do you want to tag it with all that information?
Yeah, I will. You can leave us feedback on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can contact us on the Twitters at Geekcast Radio, or you can contact me via at SCP21 and you at...
BoothNinja81.
You can call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Just remember to leave your name and what you'd like to say for whatever show it is, whether it's this one or any other one. The feedback email is feedback@geekcastradio.com.
All right, that'll do it. We will record another Alter Geek Unplugged for you guys next week, and hopefully we won't be talking about DC movies.
No. I think we've covered it for a little bit.
I think we should make it a point not to cover DC movies next week.
We'll do a bad embargo.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right. See you guys later.
Bye.